We're only 1 week away from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. Register today at issuesetc.org. A hymn written by 16th century reformer Martin Luther, "We all believe in one true God." Why, among all the things that Luther had on his plate, did he often take time to write hymns for people to sing? It certainly wasn't simply a personal pleasure. There was something about the Reformation in Luther's mind that required singing, not just singing, but corporate singing, the kind of singing we all take for granted in church today. What was its role in the Reformation? And is it true that the Christian laity resisted this move toward corporate singing? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, June the 2nd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to spend today's first hour talking with Dr. Robin Lever about the Reformation and congregational singing. Then we'll discuss the liturgy of Pop American Christianity with Chris Roseborough. Dr. Robin Lever is a regular guest professor emeritus at Westminster Choir College and visiting professor at Yale Divinity and Queen's University. He's author of the new book, The Whole Church Sings, Congregational Singing in Luther's Wittenberg. Dr. Lever, welcome back to Issues Etc.
I'm happy to be here.
Why is it so difficult for us in the 21st century to comprehend the importance of people in earlier generations singing in their own languages?
The simple answer is the invention of radio and recording. Before then, every culture in Europe was a singing culture. Everything was communicated. Anything of value, anything that moved you very deeply, you sang about it. This is how you received your news. This is how you expressed your emotions. And this only began to fall apart at the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century, and then with the invention of the radio, it became undermined. And instead of such music, such singing being communicated orally from person to person, it becomes a technological thing that is imposed upon us. And these songs of earlier generations circulated over generations and became part of the fabric of society and got modified melodically and textually. I think the example, one of the examples I give in my book is the, I think it's the Five Joys of Mary, a religious song of the medieval period, that becomes a little later on in the 17th century, it's expanded. It's now the Seven Joys of Mary. And then in the 19th century, it has been raised to nine. But this transmission was slow. Whereas with the invention of the radio and then other means of communication, you know, recordings of one kind or another, then all that gets replaced. And fortunately for us, at the end of the 19th century, there were people across Europe who were collecting the songs of the community. And a high proportion of them, of course, were religious songs. And this sort of picture that we have of it wasn't until Martin Luther came along that anybody started singing is quite false. They were used to singing, and they were used to singing particularly at the major celebrations of the church year, Christmas, Easter, and so on, because we have this view that the Catholic Mass had no hymnody in it. It had a lot of music, but it didn't have any congregational hymnody. But the people were still singing Christ ist erstanden at Easter, because we have this point of view that worship is 59 minutes on a Sunday morning. And it mustn't transgress that 59 minutes. 60 minutes, oh, it's too long, too long. That's a modern conception or preception. In the medieval period, in the one that Luther grows up in, it was usual to begin with, Christmas Day was not the only day. It was followed by 2 days following. Easter Day is followed by 2 days following. So it isn't a question of just simply Mass on Easter Day. What happened was that you flowed out of church on Easter Sunday morning, and you continued your celebration and the singing of religious songs, such as Christ ist erstanden, and then the next day a new Mass comes along, and there is. But afterwards, you spill out into the village green, onto the village green, or the town square, and you sing these vernacular songs. So it wasn't strange to be singing such religious songs at the major festivals of the church here when Luther comes along, because it's foreign to our culture now, this singing of every part of life, about every part of life, which used to be 100 years ago, or maybe a little longer. It was very, very common. But we've lost that in many respects, and we have to regain that in our churches. What wonderful thing this singing is. And I would say that when I was still in parish ministry in England, one of the things I did in the churches that I went to, I set myself the task of introducing that congregation to listen to themselves singing. And what a wonderful sound it actually is. And we have to do things like that, because there isn't the natural cultural singing as there once used to be.
So as you say, Dr. Lever, that congregational singing certainly existed before the Reformation and before Luther. What significantly changes with Luther and the Reformation when it comes to congregational singing?
His unique approach is that whereas these religious folk songs, vernacular folk songs, were being sung outside the church on the major festivals, mostly outside the church, he brings them within the church and is able to build on many of these traditional hymns like Wir Glauben, Nun bitten wir den Heiligen Geist, and so on, that had been sung for generations. But he brought them actually into the sanctuary and got the people there singing.
How exactly did they do that? How did they bring it within the church?
Luther said so, I guess. this is what we will do. In the Formula Missae, he already says that, yeah, this is a Latin order, this is a Latin revision of the Lord's Supper, but what we need is vernacular hymns for the people to sing during the celebration, and not just simply afterwards at the major festivals.
Where do we see the first hymnals, that is, books that were intended for use in congregational, in church singing during the divine service?
We begin to get them 1525, 1526, appearing in the title pages for die Laien, for the lay people. But unfortunately, evidence is not complete. We have so few. For example, first of all, the hymns were circulated on broadsides, single sheets, like Xerox copies, single sheets with sometimes with the music, sometimes not, but the hymns were circulated that way. And then they were reprinted. They were printed in Wittenberg. They were then reprinted in other places like Erfurt and Augsburg. But most of these have disappeared, because they're ephemeral pieces of paper that didn't last, because they were replaced by the hymnals. And even the hymnals, we don't have extant copies of every edition that was produced. For example, the Wittenberg hymnal that we talk about, 1529, in fact, it came out, we know, we have evidence, it was printed and reprinted the same year, 1529, but there is no known copy of it. The earliest one that we have is 1533. And in my book, the one that I focus on is a book published in 1526 in Wittenberg, a collection of hymns. But it clearly is not the first edition, because it says on the title page, für die Laien, for the people, not for anyone else. It's for the people to sing. And it is clearly not the first edition, because it says on the title page, verbessert, improved. In other words, there was an earlier edition, and this is now improved. Then when you look at the contents and compare it with the choir book, or it isn't a choir book, it's a set of parts. It's not one book, it's five books, five-part books that Johann Walther publishes in 1524, except that it's really very end, it's the very end of 1524 that it gets circulated, and beginning of 1525. When you compare the contents of this 1526 volume with the Johann Walther choir part books, you can see that they are virtually the same content. What is different is that when you look at the 1526 Wittenberg congregational book, you can see that it has been expanded on two occasions. The same content as is found in Walther's Chorgesang book is expanded first by three additional hymns that are spread out within that context. Then if you look more closely, there is at the end what it looks like an appendix of seven further hymns, new hymns. So the impression given is that this copy, 1526 copy, is the third edition of this collection of hymns, and it was expanded on two different occasions. So this takes us back in time to exactly the same time as the publication of the choir part books of Johann Walther. And for so long we have been saying that, oh yeah, the congregation was slow at picking up this singing business, and it was the choir that led them, and then ultimately they began to sing, and then it wasn't until 1529 that the Geistliche Lieder of Klug, that they have a hymnal of their own. But it's clearly not the case. Around the same time, there is a congregational book that is published around the same time as the choir book. So it isn't that the choir is pushing the congregation. It is both the choir in Wittenberg and the congregation that are together in this business of singing and singing hymns. And this is something really, very exciting. And it's amazing that it's not been picked up before, mainly because this book was treated as a secondary source. It was noted, but it wasn't taken terribly seriously. What I have done is to take it very seriously and regard it as it truly is, a primary source rather than a secondary source. And when you compare the music, the tunes, and this 1526 book has melodies in notation. When you compare those with the notation of the choir books, the tenor choir book mostly, where the melodies are, it's very interesting that in every case, the more common type of tune is preferred by this congregational book rather than the choir book. The choir book has additional tunes in it that are not congregational, clearly, whereas it's very clear what the congregation were singing. And this is quite exciting stuff.
We're talking about the Reformation and congregational singing on this Friday, June the 2nd, with Dr. Robin Lever, Professor Emeritus at Westminster Choir College and Visiting Professor at Yale Divinity and Queen's University. He's author of the new book, The Whole Church Sings, Congregational Singing in Luther's Wittenberg. We'll talk about the first hymnals, in particular what hymns were in them, right after this.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Did you know that you can listen to our 24/7 talk and music stations using Amazon Echo? All you have to do is say, Alexa, play Lutheran Public Radio.
Lutheran Public Radio.
Or, Alexa, play Lutheran Talk Radio.
Lutheran Talk Radio.
Own thing, you know, there's this recognition that unrighteous mammon.
Lutheran music, Lutheran talk, anytime, day or night, on Amazon Echo.
Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. reformationgear.com. The new Martin Luther plush figure, reformationgear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com. churchmusicsolutions.com.
The hymn, Lord, Keep Us Steadfast in Your Word. We're talking about the Reformation and congregational singing with Dr. Robin Lever on this Friday, June the 2nd. He's Professor Emeritus at Westminster Choir College and visiting professor at Yale Divinity and Queen's University. Dr. Lever, the first hymnals, you had mentioned some, and they came out in several editions that you had mentioned. What hymns were in them?
All the ones that, you know, all the basic ones that are found that we consider to be the core of the basic hymnals. I'm trying to make sure I don't leave any out here. Both of them start with Nun bitten wir den Heiligen Geist. Now pray with the Holy Spirit. Aus tiefen Not, of course, one of his early hymns, Out of the Depths, Christ legen Todesbanden. Descend to Harigan Zangaboti, these are the Holy Ten Commands. All the basic hymns that probably about 20 hymns that were generated over this period, 15 that we know that were generated over the 1523, 24, and early 1525, the core of hymns from that period are all in this book.
Those are primarily Luther hymns there. Were there other authors that were contributing?
There were a few. Justus Jonas, for example, but not many. Most of them are directly from Luther himself. And which is very interesting because Luther himself says that he doesn't have much of a gift to do this kind of stuff and wishes other people would join him. But as it turns out, he wrote more than anybody else. And of course, Nun Komm der Heiden Heiland is one that comes out of this early period. He was the only one of the Wittenberg authors to write a significant number of hymns. The others only wrote one or two.
So in terms of the doctrinal content of these hymns, how would you describe it?
Well, they're biblical in content. Some of them are paraphrases of Scripture, like Aus tiefer Not, Out of the Depths, Psalm 130. And that's a very interesting one because there are two versions of it. There's a four-verse version and a five-verse version. Years and years ago, the thinking was that the five stanza version was the original, and the four stanza version was some idiot who came along and screwed it up later. But mostly Marcus Jenny, the scholar who looked at all these Luther hymns, came up with the idea that in fact we've got it wrong. It's the other way round. The four stanza version precedes the five stanza version, and you can see very clearly how it's been expanded. And the difference between the two is that the four stanza version is straight Scripture without any comment or without any concern to emphasize the meaning, whereas the five stanza version has a much stronger view of what faith actually means. You can see that Luther goes beyond just simply reproducing the biblical text from the psalm and adds to it more biblical material from elsewhere in Scripture, and that's really a remarkable thing. And you can see that there is a shift in adding to some of the hymns are very closely based on Psalms, others are summaries of Psalms. And Paul Spiratus, who wrote a number of hymns, a contemporary of Luther in Wittenberg. What he does, his hymns are published on broadsides, and then they were later brought together in the eight songbook, Achliederbuch. And it's very interesting that what he does is that he gives you poetically the stanzas, one after the other, and then at the end it gives you an appendix, and every line of his poetic version, his poetic hymn, he gives the biblical reference to it, and it only occurs. The hymnals never followed up with this, but it demonstrates very clearly that Scripture is the fundamental source of compiling these hymns to be sung by the people.
There are also hymns that serve as, in effect, you mentioned Luther's Mass, as liturgical texts.
Yeah, and he develops this over the years. He fairly early on, actually. As he says in the Formula Missae, he says he wants the people to be able to sing in the vernacular, and in particular, he stresses on the ordinary of the Mass that normally up till then had been sung by the choir, what he wanted was that for the congregation to be able to sing the equivalents of the ordinary. So, and in particular, Wir Glauben, the creedal hymn, and the Agnus Dei hymn, Christi du Lamb Gottes, so that he sees a multifaceted use of hymn singing. Sometimes they are scripture rendered into verse. Others of them are theology, catechism hymns that are made into hymns. And over the years, he creates a whole sequence of catechism hymns for all the parts of the catechism. So some of them are clearly specifically liturgical, like Wir Glauben. Wir Glauben has a double significance. It not only is it the creedal hymn, it is also one of the catechism hymns. But Christi du Lamb Gottes, the Agnus Dei, is another of his approaches to the number of different ways the hymn can be used in the worship assembly.
Dr. Robin Lever is our guest. We're talking about the Reformation and the importance of congregational singing. When we come back from the break, Luther seems to know what he's doing when it comes to congregational singing. Not just an incidental part of his effort, but maybe the advance guard. Who knows? We'll talk about that on the other side of the break.
Reformation was an attempt to answer the most fundamental questions of life then, and those questions endure today.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Who is God? Who am I? Where is God found? What does God make of us? Who is Christ? What's the purpose of my life? Why does suffering happen? All those questions remain absolutely pertinent, and the answers that were given in the Reformation are absolutely relevant today.
You can meet and hear Pastor Matt Harrison making the case for the Reformation's relevancy at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, call 618-223-8385 or visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 9th and 10th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Peace Evangelical Lutheran Church of Chehalis, Washington. Biblical, historic Christianity, whose source is Scripture, whose heart is the Gospel. If you're in Southwest Washington, join us for the Divine Service. You will receive Jesus, crucified and risen again for the forgiveness of your sins. We promise. For more information, call us at 360-748-4108.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the CLCC.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. The CLCC.org.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at LutheranFCU.org.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Savior of the nations, come, show yourself a virgin son, marvel heaven wonder earth, that our God chose such a birth.
The hymn Savior of the Nations Come. We're talking about congregational singing and the Reformation with Dr. Robin Lever on this Friday afternoon, Professor Emeritus at Westminster Choir College and visiting professor at Yale Divinity and Queen's University, author of the new book, The Whole Church Sings, Congregational Singing in Luther's Wittenberg. There'll certainly be plenty of singing at the 2017 Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference 1 week from today. Pastor Will Whedon will lead us in our annual hymn sing. It's not just a hymn sing, it's hymn teaching on the hymns and then singing the hymns. This year's theme, the hymns of Martin Luther, fitting for the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. We'll also be singing during Compline, prayer at the close of day on Friday night, morning prayer Saturday morning, and the divine service Saturday night. You'll find a conference schedule and registration information at issuesetc.org. The 5th Annual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. Dr. Lever, it certainly sounds like Martin Luther, for his part, knew what he was doing in incorporating congregational singing into the ongoing Reformation. It sounds like it wasn't a small part, but really a major part of what he thought he was doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Their place in the liturgical assembly is not just simply as spectators watching on the drama. They are involved in it, and they have a very significant part to play.
Did the early reformers in this use of congregational singing, to what degree did they use pre-existing hymns, hymns that were ancient in the church already?
Quite a large number of them. Mitten wir in Leben sind, in the midst of life we are in death, for example, had been sung for many generations. Christus der Standen is another. Ein Kinderlein so lobelig. Gott sei gelobet und gebenedeit. These were circulating before, but usually they had very strong Marian content, and of course Luther changes that. But wherever possible, he uses what was already in the people's ears. The text may be, I mean, Wir glauben is at least a century or more old by the time Luther gets hold of it. He takes the melody unchanged. It is as had been known and was in the ears of the Wittenberg people. What he does is he takes the first line, "Wir glauben alle an einen Gott," we all believe in one true God, and that's the only thing he takes. He takes none of the rest of the text, because the text that had been known amongst the people at that point was a kind of vernacular summary of the creed, and didn't cover every part of the creed. So what Luther does is he takes the melody, keeps it as it has been transmitted, and he takes the first line, but then writes what is effectively a new hymn, and it's in three stanzas and clearly Trinitarian, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as is the creed on which it is based. But Luther is concerned to build on what the people already knew, and I think that is very significant.
Does this explain why, although, as you said before, Luther does not regard himself as the most talented of hymn writers, he continues to write hymns?
Oh, yeah, sure. And though there's some controversy about it, all Er und Lob um Gottes sein. There are rhymed couplets for the Gloria. The Gloria in Excelsis Deo, that does get into the hymnals later on, but it does not displace Decius's version of the hymnic version of the Gloria, O Lein Gott in der Höhe Er, O Glory be to God on high. And it seems that Luther was not very happy about O Lein Gott. Not that it was a bad hymn, no, it wasn't a bad hymn, but it did not stay close to the text of the liturgical Gloria. So he writes, I think he writes this version in German. You'll find it in volume 53 of Luther's works, but it isn't terribly well known. But it's in rhymed couplets, exactly the same kind of rhymed couplets that you find in the Sanctus, Jesaja den Propheten das Geschah. And he does this later in life, in the early 1540s, when he's had enough of O Lein Gott, which is very interesting. But in this case, his hymn never replaces O Lein Gott. It becomes the standard.
So Luther has a way here then of, at least through this hymn writing, of reaching the people, in spite of what he observed early on in the Reformation, perhaps bad preaching, bad pastoring in many places, as you know, leading to his composition of the catechisms. These hymns were kind of a way around some still remedial work that needed to be done with the pastors.
Absolutely. Yeah, and what we find as the Reformation proceeds, the image that we've often lived with is that in Wittenberg, the congregation was slow to get going on these hymns, and eventually they listen to the choir, and eventually they join in. But if you look elsewhere, as the Reformation develops northwards into Westphalia, for example, what is very interesting is that it's the people who are ahead of the clergy. The people know when they are insoest, S-O-E-S-T. For example, the people objected to the preaching of the unreformed pastors. And so what they did when they didn't like what they were hearing, they just simply stood up and sang Luther hymns and drowned him out. And this is before, this is 1529, before 1531, 32, I think it is, before the town does take the Reformation. So instead of being behind, the people are in front of the reforming movement as it moves north from Wittenberg, which is very, very interesting indeed.
So talk about that, because most of your work there focuses on the Wittenberg. But talk about the proliferation of Lutheran hymnals beyond just the epicenter of the Reformation.
Well, they move very, very quickly to Erfurt, to Augsburg. Nuremberg is a very important place because that's where Hans Sachs, the poet, is based, and very often Magdeburg is another place where there are accounts of Luther hymns being translated, being published on broadside, single sheets, and then this shoemaker, I think he is, sings to the crowd and introduces them to Luther's ideas by singing the hymns and then by selling them these broadsides. Again, ahead of the official Reformation, the clergy taking on the Reformation theology. And he gets imprisoned, but again, he is released from the town. From the town hall, the dungeons in the town hall, simply by the pressure of the crowd for his release. But it's all connected with singing.
Dr. Robin Lever is our guest. We're talking about the Reformation and the place of congregational singing on this Friday, June the 2nd. He's professor emeritus at Westminster Choir College and visiting professor at Yale Divinity and Queen's University, author of the new book, The Whole Church Sings, Congregational Singing in Luther's Wittenberg. We're going to talk about how the hymnals and these hymns actually made it out into the lands of the Reformation, far and wide, right after the break.
Christ Academy has been the most formative experience as I study to be a pastor. Hi, I'm Ian Kinney. I attended Christ Academy as a student, and now I work there as a proctor. You'll learn theology from seminary professors, have fellowship with other young men, hear God's word, and receive the sacrament in beautiful Kramer Chapel. Christ Academy, June 18th through July the 1st at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. If you're a high school man, visit ctsfw.edu/Christ Academy. ctsfw.edu/Christ Academy.
Emily finally had to face the truth. Her church choir was a mess.
Katie Schuerman from her new audiobook, House of Living Stones.
Sure, they'd managed to turn out a few decent choral offerings for Sunday worship every now and then, but their confidence and morale were presently hanging lower than pants on a wrapper.
You can purchase and download an audio version of the novel House of Living Stones at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. House of Living Stones by Katie Schuerman.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world?
India.
Sweden.
Egypt.
France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong.
Austria.
Finland.
Malaysia.
Singapore.
Bulgaria.
Korea.
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.
Stuck in traffic? Waiting in line at the grocery store? Do better than scrolling through pictures of your aunt's chai latte and your friend's distraught statuses regarding the football game on Facebook. Download the digital version of the Lutheran Witness and get your theological fix instead. Not a subscriber? Visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness for a special offer of $6.99 for 6 issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
The church's music from the 2nd century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The 6th century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Christ Jesus, slain in this combat for our offenses given, but at the cross right hand he stands and brings us life from heaven.
hymn Christ Jesus Lay in Death Strong Bands. We are talking with Dr. Robin Lever about the Reformation and congregational singing. He's author of the new book, The Whole Church Sings, Congregational Singing in Luther's Wittenberg. When you purchase The Whole Church Sings using the Amazon link at our website, a percentage of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand, and look for The Whole Church Sings, Congregational Singing in Luther's Wittenberg by Dr. Robin Lever. Dr. Lever, it sounds like these hymns were, if you will, the advance guard of the Reformation?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's by no means a second thought. It's a fundamental part of the reforming movement. Yeah.
Is there evidence that with these things moving, and you had mentioned Sachs, this poet, that these initial efforts in Wittenberg inspire further efforts that build upon what Luther and the other reformers had begun there?
Oh, absolutely! I think because the way in which the Reformation from the 1530s onwards spreads rapidly, mostly in a northern direction, and then far north up into Scandinavia and Nordic countries. But yeah, hymnody is the one thing that seems to be the transmitter of faith and theology, or it's a new understanding of faith and theology.
From that point on, there's a lot of history to cover, obviously, but the tradition of Lutheran hymnody, I wonder if it's kind of a steady flow, or does it ebb and flow up to our present time?
I don't think it ebbs and flows so much as flows and expands, because certainly by the time you get to the 18th century, everything that the Lutheran Church does in Germany and elsewhere is connected strongly with hymn singing. If there's any special occasion for whatever reason, then is promulgated the list of hymns that you will sing on this occasion, especially the Reformation festivals, the 1667, 1717, but then 1630, 1730, the Augsburg Confession centenaries. Yeah, it's always when anything important is going down, then it is then the list of hymns. These are the hymns that you will sing during this celebration.
Just a curious question with just a few more here, Dr. Lever. When does A Mighty Fortress kind of emerge as, I mean, it's been called the battle hymn of the Reformation, but when does it in the history of this hymn singing become that marking of the Reformation of the 1517 anniversary?
Probably 1667, 1717, the anniversary of the Reformation. But even so, it is not the tub-thumping hymn that we tend to think of it until the 19th century. It all bound up with the Prussian Empire in the 1870s, and then 1883, the anniversary of Luther's birth. That's when it really goes to town. In the 18th century, yeah, there is this element of small element of triumphalism, but mostly it is of repentance because we are under attack kind of approach. Should all the devils surround us and so on. And in the usage, the most common usage in the hymnals in the 18th century, the 17th and 18th century, is not for Reformation Day. They sing other hymns, Erhalten's Heil bei deinem Wort, Lord keep us safe, steadfast in your word, or another hymn. Because they sing, I think it's the third Sunday in Lent, that it is the gradual lead, the gradual hymn of the day. Because in the earliest manifestation that we have of, or one of the earliest of the hymn, is a broadside published in Augsburg in 1529, and the heading is Ein Festeburg, a hymn of comfort. So it is not the, you know, we've won the Reformation debate, but rather we take comfort in that our protection is from God. You know, it's a different approach to the same hymn. And it's only, as I say, later on that it becomes nearly always associated with the primary theme of the Reformation. And the idea that it should be a hymn of comfort got forgotten.
What were, you mentioned just a few, but what were the other hymns that were before that time, before the triumphalism kicked in, that were Reformation celebration hymns, so to speak?
Eheldon's Hair by Dynam Vort is the primary one, and it won't come.
So, Lord, keep us steadfast in thy word.
Yeah, that's the primary Reformation hymn that keeps coming up then. There is a hymn similar to that hymn that is on that our future depends on the word. It's a similar hymn, and it just escapes me at the moment.
Finally, then, Dr. Lieber, were Luther to stand and survey kind of the landscape of Lutheran hymnody today and of congregational singing, see it for, we now talk about hundreds, if not thousands, of hymns that can fall under the banner of Lutheran hymnody. What would he make of it, do you think?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I think that singing, the corporate nature of singing is the marker of the corporate nature of the Christian faith. We are individual Christians, but our profession as a Christian is a corporate one. We belong to each other, and it is that element of the body of Christ expressing itself in the community by singing. It's the only time that you can get a large group of people actually in unanimity. Listen to a bunch of clergy saying the Lord's Prayer together, and you'll know what I mean. They can't do it together. If they sang it, they would.
Dr. Robin Lieber is Professor Emeritus at Westminster Choir College and Visiting Professor at Yale Divinity and Queen's University, author of the new book, The Whole Church Sings, Congregational Singing in Luther's Wittenberg. When you purchase this book using the Amazon link at our website, a percentage of your purchase will go to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. We'll find a link there, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Lieber, thank you very much.
You're much welcome.
Issues, etc. Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian is brought to you in part today by Concordia University, Wisconsin Online. They offer 50 online educational options for an associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree. Learn more by clicking the Concordia University, Wisconsin logo at issuesetc.org. Be sure to enter the promo code ISSUES and they'll waive your application fee. Lifelong Lutheran Learning, Concordia University, Wisconsin Online. Up next, the Liturgy of Pop American Christianity with Pastor Chris Rosebrough.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for You and the Divine Service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
We're joined now by listener Rocky. Rocky, tell us about the tax benefits of donating stocks to Issues Etc.
What we discovered in talking with our tax people and our stock advisors is that it would be beneficial for us to be giving our charitable donations by this means, by giving stocks, which meant that we could give a stock and essentially say if you gave a $100 stock, it's straight money to whatever charitable organization you want to give. As opposed to cashing it out, we'd only be able to give whatever portion is left over after the tax consequences.
How would you advise our listeners if they're interested in donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds?
They need to go and talk to their stockbroker or their tax person, and I think they'll find out it makes a heck of a lot of economic sense. And you're much better steward with your money, because what you're ending up doing is stretching the dollars that you're able to give donation-wise, and you're able to give a whole lot more directly to those people that you want to support, and you're able to preserve much more for yourself using the laws that have been provided for it.
Rocky, is there anything that we left out that you want to tell our listeners?
Well, the only thing that you've missed is that people really need to support Issues Etc. This is a terrific way to do it in a very economical way. It's a way to do it and be good stewards of the resources that God has blessed people with. And I would encourage everyone to support Issues Etc. in every possible way that they can. And if this is available to them, I'd encourage them to look into it, because it not only will help them, but it'll help Issues Etc. also.
To find out how to reduce your tax burden and support this worldwide outreach by donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds, talk to your stockbroker or tax advisor, and then call Craig here at Lutheran Public Radio, 618-223-8385.